Well, I suppose, Luke, I suppose when you look at it from that point of view, in 2 years' time, there's a World Cup schedule, so that will have implications for the qualifiers for the next World Cup. If Euro 2020 was to be pushed out, it'll have massive ramifications, of course, for the 12 major cities who are hosting the tournament, because hotels, tickets, everything have been sold well in advance, travel plans have been made. But everything is secondary now to what is COVID-19, which is spreading across all those 12 countries where Euro 2020 is due to be held. So it's a big decision that will have to be made. And even in saying that, the qualifiers are still to be concluded. You look at the Republic of Ireland, Dave, potentially two qualifiers still to play. Is there any real prospect of those games going ahead to then be prepared for a tournament that's due to take place in June? It's very, very unlikely. And when you see the Premier League and FAI and all the bigger associations making very, very good decisions to postpone and delay games that are due to be played in the coming weeks and months, well, then I think it's probably inevitable what will come out of UEFA on Tuesday afternoon. They might decide to put it off for a little period, but I think June will come far too soon, and there'll be too many complications. Even if three or four of the cities do manage to be completely free of any COVID-19 at that stage, you can expect somewhere around Europe the scare will still be very much alive.
And I suppose you look at maybe the major sporting bodies, the likes of UEFA, obviously the Premier League as well, suspending its activity until April. And then you look at the FAI as well. And you have to think about, I suppose, the League of Ireland, because whatever about big Premier League clubs, the TV money and all of that, when you look at the League of Ireland, obviously public health and safety comes first, but this could bring a lot of clubs to their knees, depending on how long it stretches out for, because we're still uncertain on that.
Yeah, and look, Cork City comes straight to mind because, of course, they were rescued at the last minute to begin this year's Premier Division by selling their sell-on clause for a young striker. Everybody knows him now, playing with Preston, young Sean. And look, I suppose the difference between Sean Maguire and the rest of the League of Ireland clubs is that they had an asset, Cork, to sell. Most of the other League of Ireland clubs, a lot of them renting grounds, you know, grounds that are owned by councils. So there isn't very much to balance against something being given maybe as a short-term loan. Players need to be paid. They, of course, will have their own concerns with families, mortgages during this period of non-football. I saw quite encouragingly, I suppose, from some clubs that they're buying virtual tickets at the moment, in that they know the games were due to take place, so they make a donation to the clubs in question to the value of a home game ticket. So it's good to see that kind of generosity out there, but sustainability-wise, over maybe a 2, 3 or even 6 month period, it's very, very hard. Again, the FAI will be asked to step in and rescue, but the FAI really don't have a pot at the moment to take money from. They, of course, are relying themselves on a government bailout as such, UEFA money, FIFA money, whatever they can do to get their 16 million bailout. And they're not really in a position to sit down with clubs and give them some kind of rescue package at the moment. A lot of eyes will be on the government to see what action will be taken in relation to sporting clubs. But I would say definitely soccer clubs here in the Republic of Ireland, in the Airtricity League sphere alone, will feel the pinch of this very, very badly. And as we mentioned in yesterday, is Limerick Today. You can only imagine if Limerick FC did have a team this season, then they would be really, really struggling at this moment in time. And they'd be worried about the full-time staff that they have employed. And, you know, a lot of them are on contracts. A lot of them would have expected their wages to be honoured. But with nothing coming in, and that's the problem now for League of Ireland clubs, it'll be very, very hard to see what way they will go. And unfortunately, it doesn't look good for a lot of them.
And obviously you mentioned Limerick FC and them not having a team this year and from a men's point of view in the National League. But looking at Treaty United, they're gearing up for a National League season, and now that's obviously been put back as well.
Yeah, you'd have to feel so, so sorry for them, wouldn't you? Because for them, they've been looking forward to a new season. Then you had the whole mess around Limerick FC, Treaty United, and what team would represent Limerick ultimately at both senior men's level, underage and women's soccer. We have no senior team. Limerick FC still are hoping to get two teams into the underage League of Ireland season. But for the women in particular, who had a very strong year last year entering the National League and the under-17 National League, the heart has to go out to the likes of Dave Rooney, Irene Herr, all those involved with the women's game, because they got over the first hurdle, which was, you know, coming up with a new name, a new branding, getting accepted into the league. The fixtures are out. They've been training hard behind the scenes. It was due to start in the coming weeks, but now with COVID-19, there's no season for them. So for that many girls to be inactive now from a football point of view, it hasn't been great for the sport locally, but like anything, it will recover in time. And again, you'd urge the public, if there's any opportunity, to support that team in the coming weeks or months ahead to make sure that they stay on the rails as such and go ahead with their participation in the league in the coming season. Well, then I think every opportunity should be definitely given its due attention, and do get behind them, because at the end of the day, they'll be only our only senior representatives in League of Ireland football this year.
From a local soccer point of view then, is what type of an impact will it have on junior soccer? Will there be, I know we had some fixtures called off over the weather over the last few weeks, is there going to be a massive fixture congestion? And I'm saying that even thinking that it will be back maybe mid-April, we don't know yet, but if that was to happen, would there be a big fixture congestion?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose the FAI released their decision after talking with government on Thursday afternoon that all football is suspended until the 29th of March. That means no club are even entitled to train, no friendly games, no get-togethers really to assess where you are in your season and plan ahead for the rest of the season, and definitely no competitive games. So it leaves clubs with a lot to play for in a very precarious situation. Take, for example, Fairview Rangers, still going in every single Premier competition, whether it's FAI, Munster Junior, due to take place in a Tuohy Cup final last night. And of course, they're challenging for a league, a loss, and they're in contention for every trophy, basically. And their season now should usually have 10 weeks left in it, maybe 12. But where will it all begin when it all has to start up again? Because you can't just reassume on the 29th of March, having no training behind you, no up-to-date fitness. You know, yes, it's good for players who are injured at the moment, a chance for them to regroup. But I think it's a very, very stop-start campaign since Christmas, particularly locally with the weather issues and, of course, now with COVID-19. So it'll take a lot to get it back on track. Maybe the LDMC and the LDSL might look at the top teams and just speak to the ones who are challenging for the trophies and play them off to come to a conclusion. There's a lot of games that will be needless between now and the end of the season, but I imagine stuff like that is the furthest thing from people's minds at the moment. It's definitely safety first for soccer supporters, soccer players, anybody involved in the game, and that's what we all have to think of now. It's secondary to what is a very pertinent problem and a national emergency.
I suppose thinking down the line as well, Mike, and with all that in mind, obviously a landmark event in Limerick coming up towards the summer, the Kennedy Cup and the Gaynor Cup as well. You'd probably worry about them down the line. We'll have to wait and see what happens, but that you'd probably say there's a cloud over those.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, everything will have to be considered, but let's do it in a timely manner. I mean, we don't need to worry about something that's out of our control at the moment, and certainly COVID-19 isn't in the control of soccer authorities. You know, the health service executive are well on top of their planning and their contingency planning for what is coming down the line with COVID-19, but from a football planning point of view, it is very, very hard to even estimate where this could end and where things can get back to normal. It mightn't even happen, you know, in this calendar season. We might be looking at a fresh start next August, but that's all just merely speculation. Time will tell in the next month or so, I think, where COVID-19, how much it has spread around this country and how much it'll affect sport. But, you know, I really do have to emphasise it is secondary for everybody. Player safety, supporter safety, committee's safety, you know, everybody from a footballing point of view, that community needs to rally around the community at large now and get behind the government, get behind the health service executive and try and keep this in a delayed phase. And, you know, inevitably there will be short-term pain, and let's hope it's very much short-term pain in this country.